Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Is it fish or cut bait time or what? Middle of March has me going crazy. You're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend, 16th and 17th. Yeah, okay, I have the 5-pound corned beef. I already bought that. My lovely Dee Marie will get a couple slices on that. The rest is mine. She likes the cabbage. She's more into that health thing. But really, Fisher Cup bait time. White perch fishing is going crazy. Yellow perch already. You get some of those tidal waters down there in Lower Cape May, Lower Township. Woo, Middle Township. Woo, you got some nice yellow perch in there mixed in. Pickerel, largemouth. Again, stripers. It's just that time here. It's really kicked off. Going to get a little cooler weather few days this coming week. So what? The bite is on. Now, it's also, this is the last weekend tomorrow to get in on some trout fishing before the season closes for 3 weeks for the preseason trout stocking. There are some waters that remain open. They're listed in the digest. So go to njfishandwildlife.com. In the Rock and Fin Radio listening area, you can still fish. The one water is going to be Lake Shenandoah. Now, remember, this is all catch and release until April 6th at 8 a.m. Then you can keep the 6-fish limit for the bonus broodstock program coming up for pre-opening day. This is during the stocking. 3 South Jersey waters are on the list. Crystal Lake in Burlington County, it's 18 acres. It's going to get a preseason allocation of 560 with 50 of these 3-year-old breeders. Some of these fish are up to 6-7 pounds. Also, we have South Violent Park Pond in Cumberland County, one of my faves, 17 acres, 490 fish allocation, and they're going to get 50. And Grenlock Lake in Gloucester, 8 acres, going to get 410. 8 acres, and it's going to get 50 of these bomber bows. That's what we call them. So get that license. Get that trout stamp. It's going to be an incredible opening day. Okay, coming up in our next segment, we have Peter Clark. He is Marine Fisheries Biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. He's also the Artificial Reef Coordinator. He's going to be talking about the Fluke Sea Bass and Porgy regs, a 2-year plan that is, actually for sea bass now, Porgy and Fluke, yep, 2-year plan, how they came up with that. Also joining us later will be Jamie Lloyd talking about the decoy carver show that is coming up. It's going to be down there at Stockton State College in a couple weeks. A lot of stuff happening. And Bayside Dave weighs in. Hey, man, don't forget the LBI spring tournament coming up. Bass and bluefish. Whew, crazy time. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Well, what was it? Last week before, we had the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, Fluke, Porgies, and Sea Bass. Regs were all fleshed out, voted upon. Now we're just waiting on a signature for that. For the flatties, it came out to 3 at 18 inches, Delaware Bay, 3 at 17 inches, Island Beach State Park, 2 at 16 inches. I love that program. Season, May 4th to September 25th, 145 days. And for the porgies, a mandatory reduction on the porgies as well, 30 fish bag limit, 10-inch minimum. Season from January 1st to June 30th, then again September 1st till New Year's Eve. Okay, this is a 2-year program, 2-year plan, however you want to call it. A little confusion on that. Join us online right now, who was at the meeting. A cool guy and just a frequent guest on Rack and Fin Week, and catch him when he's not either in the field or on the water fishing, is Peter Clark. Peter's a biologist, Bureau of Marine Fisheries with DEP's Fish and Wildlife. He is also the head of the New Jersey Artificial Reef Program, which is the greatest on the planet, if not in the universe. Sorry, Pete, I just keep pumping this program. It is outstanding. How you doing, little brother? Happy mid-March.
hey, Tom P., how are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, locked, cocked, and ready to rock. But yeah, the hunting season, turkey season's coming, trout season's coming. But from, I told you off the air, I was in a shop, and already the flounder, a.k.a. fluke guys, are coming in looking for new bucktails. Pete, it's out there. It's out there. You get those days, first couple days in the 60s, these guys want their flatties. With the May 4th opener, how do you beat that?
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. You have a good week of weather like we just went through, and, boy, everybody starts moving and thinking about fishing again.
So the status quo, not the status quo, but going back to the 3 at 18, across the board, I'd say 98% of the people I spoke with who were at the meeting, also at the tackle shops I run, people I have no life, so I'm in the tackle shops, at marinas a lot. Everyone's comfortable with the 3-18 again. A few bitching and moaning here and there, but because that half inch can make a difference. I get that. But for the most part, yeah, people are satisfied.
Yeah. So, you know, Tom, this process, it doesn't happen in the course of 1 hour at a council meeting.
Right.
So we held two Summer Flounder, Scup, and Black Sea Bass Advisory Committee meetings in January and in February. And during that process, we went from somewhere in the neighborhood of, well, you know, I ran this model. So we have to use a recreational demand model for these species. And that's a model that was developed by National Marine Fisheries Service. So the whole coast uses this model. I have access to it. Every state representative has access to this model. And I believe at the end of the day, I ran over 100 iterations of different scenarios, different options for all three species. All three species work in concert with each other in this model, right? So if I change one day in summer flounder, it could slightly change the output or the harvest the harvest estimate for sea bass and scup. So mm-hmm. We treat all three of these species together when we run a model and we come up with an option. So over the course of those two meetings, we whittled all of those various options down to six possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The public had the ability to send all of their comments to our Bureau of Marine Fisheries. We compiled them all. And at the end of that comment period, we had over 670 emails. 630 of those emails supplied us with an option preference. And so at the end of all the tallying, option 32 was by far the preferred option. 69% of respondents chose or preferred option 32. The next highest option preference was option 57 with 15%, and then all the other four right. options were like 4%, 3%. So it was cut clear which options the public preferred. And we ended up, obviously, people wanted to get outside of the slot option that we'd used for the previous 2 years, which was two fish 17 to less than 18 inches and one fish greater than 18 inches for summer flounder. And what we ended up with was what I think is a pretty good
yeah.
season. It's only 4 days shorter than it was last year. So it's 145 days long from May 4th to September 25th. Sea bass, of course, is going to be exactly the same as it's been as it was last year and the past mm-hmm. couple years, for that matter. 12 and a half inches. Across the board with varying season dates and bag limits go from 10 to 1 to 10 and 5, right? So it's basically four seasons. The cool thing with this year was Gup was... Oh,
wait, Pete, for the sea bass, the last season, the last segment is 15 fish, is it not?
It is, yeah. It goes 11-1 to 12-31 is 15 fish.
Okay, I thought you said 5. Sorry about that. Go.
Yep. So what's, you know, summer flounder, we took a 28% reduction. We moved the minimum size to 18 inches. It's continuous. So it's 18 inches plus for three fish at right. that size limit. That got us a 28% reduction with a four days less on the water. So we're, you know, going through the end of September is great for our state. We open early in May, get things moving quick.
Right.
I think we talked about that. People are really excited to start fishing early. But with scup, we had a 10% reduction. What's interesting this year is last year we were closed from January 1 through the end of July. We opened up in August, if I remember correctly. This year we are open January 1 through June 30th. And then we close until September 1st till the end of the year. And so we end up actually getting a lot more days on the water. So,
right.
You know, last year we were open 153 days for scup, and this year we're going to be open 304 days. That's considerable difference, right? And we still achieve a 10% reduction. So this model worked in our favor for scup this year, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Peter, again, back to the fluke, though, it seems at those dates, May 4th to September 25th, south to north, you yeah. fill the plates of everyone. Everyone seems satisfied in that. When I came down here learning the fluke, when? It's up north. It's us up north. It was always later. Now I see it. You guys walked the tightrope again perfectly, not a slip.
Well, yeah, honestly, you know, we gave everybody enough options to look around. We had some pretty interesting out-of-the-box options that were included. One of them allowed for two fish from shore at 17 inches. So there was really a wide range of possibilities that were presented to the public. And like I said, 69% of the public chose that single option of 3 and 18. So it goes to show that people really want to see that, you know, that minimum continuous size, and they're not so interested in that slot as the way it was presented for the last couple of years. And that's not to say that we won't revisit it, but, you know, I think we're going to have to tailor it a little bit differently if it becomes a strong option. Now, you would ask me about what is this 2 year, what is this 2 year process? What does that mean? So, the way that we run stock assessments is we run stock assessments. Management track stock assessments can be used for 2 years. So it presents a level of stability. Now, by saying that we're going to do this for 2 years, everyone knows what the options, what the measures or regulations are going to be for 25 already. And that helps everybody plan moving forward. Now, we're going to do another management stock assessment we'll start it this coming year, and then we'll be able to project going forward another 2 years after 25, right? So we'll do 26, right. 27, so on and so forth. Now, the wrinkle in all of this planning, right, there's always one of those, is that because we're dealing with summer flounder, black sea bass, and scup, right, so again, in concert, summer flounder and scup are going to be on this, they're on this two-year program right now. Black sea bass, unfortunately, is only good for this 1 year. So we're going to have to revisit it next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to try to get it in line with summer flounder and scup. So it'll go for a year and then another year, and then we'll get it in line with summer flounder and scup, where we'll do all three for 2 years at a time. And that way we'll be able to mold our regulations together so we don't have big gaps, so that things are more congruent with each other.
Well, Pete, I remember it was about a year, maybe 2 years ago, one of our interviews, you said things are going to, you know, play out uniformly in the near future, and here it is. It's upon us. This is great.
And there are certainly growing pains. We talked about the implementation of what we call the percent change rule approach, you know, the recreational demand model. Like, these are all new concepts for us, and we've only been using them for a couple of years now. And of course, with anything new, there's, you know, we're trying to improve our management strategy, and it takes time to work things out and see how reality takes effect here. So, and that's why there's still this little bit of a mismatch between the three species. We've got two out of three aligned.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've still got to bring that sea bass in line. And the reason that we weren't able to do it is the stock assessment took a little bit longer. Sea bass, you know, as you know, we're treating it as two different stocks, north of the Hudson Canyon, south of the Hudson Canyon, and that in it, you know, singularly isn't the issue. But stock assessments don't always go perfectly as planned as far as timing goes. So that's what put us into this scenario now. You know, and I'm confident that we'll be able to correct it and realign everything, to be quite honest with you.
Pete, all I know is I'm locked, cocked, and ready to rock, wired, fired, otherwise inspired for these seasons to get underway. You know me, between the spring, the freshwater, so I'm just pumped for the fluke, because we're going to hit it early down south. And it's going to be, and we're going to fish our way up the coast, man, as per the season, in between all the other stuff. Just a great job all around.
Well, thanks. Yeah. It really comes down to our advisors. They really put, we have 21 advisors on these committees, and they put a lot of effort into talking to their constituents, which means talking to the guys at the marinas or talking to the guys at
absolutely
their
correct. Yep, on the boats, on the party boats, absolutely. You got it right to the nerve center,
right? And I think that's what I think that's really the strength in this process right now, is having that many great advisors working with counsel directly with counsel, and just that level of communication has helped us tremendously over the past couple of years. And look, at the end of the day, everyone is not going to be happy with what was what was decided. But I think, as we've already discussed, the high majority of folks are happy with what they're seeing right now.
Absolutely. Pete, And Pete, just again, read it one more time. Great job. These are the regs, people, for the Fluke, May 4th to September 25th, 145 days, 3 at 18 inches, Delaware Bay 3 at 17 inches. These are minimums, and Island Beach State Park 2 at 16 inches, 28% reduction. Sea bass mirrors last year, exactly the same dates and limits. For the porgies, a.k.a. SCUP 30 fish bag limit, 10-inch minimum, January 1st to June 30th, and then again September 1st. To New Year's Eve, the 31st of December. Joining us on the line is fisheries biologist Peter Clark, and he is also the head of the New Jersey Artificial Reef Program. As we know, some of the best fluke and sea bass fishing along the coast is on this outstanding artificial reef system. Pete, can you touch on, we only have a few minutes left in this segment, can you touch on the great job you guys are doing with that as well?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I appreciate you saying that. So, look, the early season is going to be in the back bays in the skinny water where it's going to warm up quicker. Once it gets really warm, though, and those fish start moving off into the reef areas, we've got 17 reefs for folks to visit. A lot of them are very close to inlets. We did 31 deployments last year. We've been very active over the past 5 years. Several 20, 30, 40 deployments a year right now. Reef ball ships. I've already got one deployment done this year. We've got another five that are already queued up, ready to go, and we're not even through March yet. So I highly urge people to find a reef that's close to their inlet. Go visit it and, use your machine, start drifting those edges with pieces, rock piles. Fluke are all over these reefs. Starting in June into July, August, and through September, some of the best fishing that you can find is going to be on these reefs.
Okay. Well, I will say, listeners, Captain Peter Clark, he is a captain. Sorry, Pete. I know you're in your official capacity here. But, Pete, is there a reference for these reefs, for the numbers, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest thing to do is Google New Jersey Artificial Reef Program, and what that'll do is your first hit will bring you to the New Jersey Fish and Wildlife Artificial Reef website. Go through that, and there's a guide with all 17 reefs listed. We just put it out 2 years ago, so it will be updated again shortly. It's got over 2,000 new deployments on it. You can use those as reference to look at to look at these reefs and figure out where you want to go try fluking and sea bass and stop fishing.
This is, again, in the universe, not the planet, in the universe. Peter, great job, Marine Fisheries and the entire crew. Thanks for joining us on Rockfin, straightening things out, fleshing it out, Peter, letting people know fluke season, sea bass season, porgy season, everything is going to be happening. It's going to be some great fishing for the spring, summer, and through the fall into the winter. Peter Clark, thanks for joining us on Rockfin. Hope to see you on the water one of these days, bud.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me.
By the way, people, Peter Clark, Captain Peter Clark, was known as the Admiral. He doesn't do doormats. This man does area rug fluke. Whoa. Peter, you take care. Good to see you. It was great to see you at the meeting. Hey, I'm going to say one thing, Clark. You're timeless, man. You don't age. I'm telling that to everybody because I look in the mirror and say, what the hell happened? You're looking good, my brother. You take care.
Blue fishing.
There you go. See you later. Great guy, Peter Clark. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Waterfowl decoy show coming up. A lot of good stuff happening. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5. Bullet Points.
I'm Evan Brown. You no longer need a permit in South Carolina. Governor Henry McMaster signs a bill into law allowing for open or concealed carry with no permit for people 18 or over who are otherwise not prohibited from carrying a gun. That would mean convicted felons, those institutionalized for mental health, drug addicts, and others. Now, if you want a permit from South Carolina, you can still get one. Sometimes other states want non-residents to have permits, which they will honor, but the new law extends concealed carry permitting to everyone 18 and older, whereas before it was restricted to those 21 and older. Louisiana, too, will do away with permits. On July 4th of this year, permitless carry was only allowed for those on active duty, but the change means everyone over 18 now. Governor Jeff Landry has already signed this bill. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 16th and 17th. Still, it's Beware the Ides of March weekend. Hey, like we said, the fishing is going crazy. Turkey hunting season's here, but I'm seeing the gobblers. Like I said, seeing the gobblers everywhere, flocks. I mean, it is time, but hey, let's back up a little bit on the waterfowl and the things. Moving down here, I guess it was 88 or 89. I duck hunted up North Jersey here and there, Sawmill Creek up there. It's funny, I'm shooting gadwalls and stuff right there in the skyline of New York City. And Whittingham, out of flooded timber. Came down here, did not realize the extent of waterfowl hunting, decoy collection, decoy carving in the fabric of the South Jersey counties. I mean, this is an incredible, incredible place. Some of the best duck hunting around, again, predicated on the weather. We all know that. But the decoy carving in and of itself, the late, great George Loader, good dear friend from Marmora, had turned me on to some of that. I went to a few decoy shows. I was fascinated by it, absolutely fascinated. Now, there's going to be an event coming up April 6th. I know it's opening a trout season. It's killing me. It's New Jersey Decoy Collectors Association. Check this out. 30th Annual Decoy Art and Hunting Collectible Show. It's going to be held up there at Stockton University at the Campus Center, 101 Vera King Drive in Galloway. Very special guest on the line. Had opportunity to hunt with him a few times. Unfortunately, not waterfowl, but pheasants and chuckers and quail. Saw him most recently at the Atlantic County Federation Venison Dinner. Oh, boy, like I was on death row on that one. It's Jamie Lloyd. He's the Senior Vice President of New Jersey Waterfowlers. He's also the decoy, the Jersey Decoy Collectors Association, President. He's just a wonderful guy, hardcore hunter, and just really, really gets you into the decoy carving experience. Jamie, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man? Good to see you again a few weeks ago.
Tom, good to hear from you. Thanks for having me on.
Did you see my face buried in that venison tetrazzini or whatever that was?
you ate well.
Well, Jamie, this is a fascinating event coming up, 30th annual. And listeners, check it out. This is, as soon as I saw this, my eyes popped out of my head. The feature carver is Will Hammerstrom. I refer to him as Captain Will Hammerstrom from the Carolyn Ann fame, correct?
Yes.
Party boat out of Barnacle Lake that I fished many times on. Great captain. No, he's a phenomenal and maniacal upland bird hunter. I mean, he likes his grouse, his woodcock. Didn't realize, though, that he was a carver. Jamie, this is fantastic.
Yeah, he comes from a good line of decoy carvers. His father was a carver. He makes great decoys. He's just an all-around good guy, outdoorsman. He is our featured carver, so we'll have a nice little setup there at the show. We got there's a lot going on that day at Stockton University.
Go ahead. You have some guest speakers coming up. The artifact displays by Bob Seabrook.
Yeah,
it's a fun event. Seabrook,
Yeah, Bob Seabrook always puts one of the best decoy artifact display anywhere of any show, and this year is going to be bigger and better. I mean, you just come out and check that out. We've got, if you have decoys from in the family, or if you have something you don't know about them, you can bring them in. We have different people that can do an appraisal on them.
Oh.
Another nice additive is Bob White is going to be set up in the ballroom there, and he's going to be having, I think, 30 decoys out of his collection, and he's got some fabulous decoys, some well-known decoys. You can come out and meet him, talk to him, pick his brain about collecting, and he's just got a wealth of knowledge. That's Bob White. He's a legend in the carving collecting world. He's a good friend of mine, and we do a lot of hunting together. Like I said, this is going to be our first year at Stockton University. Previously, we had it over TV Country Club. I think it's in a bigger and better event. We've got a lot more room. The other thing is it's going to be nice is the New Jersey Waterfowlers are going to be setting up with their gunning boat displays.
Oh, nice.
Out front, yeah, and we're going to have some gunning boat contests. So we used to do that years ago. We're kind of reviving that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a whole big selection of different kinds of all kinds of gunning boats between sneak boxes, Garveys, layout lines, pond boxes. So the association will be out there set up all day. The event starts at 9 a.m. It's over at 4 p.m. That's Saturday, April 6th. It's going to be a really cool place to have an event, and maybe down the road we might be turning possibly to a 2-day show.
Whoa! I know it's extremely well attended. Listen, the mission Delta mission rather is $6. Youngsters 12 and under are free. But Jamie, let me run this by you again. We still do some jump shooting up there in Sussex, Warren County, whatever, Huntington County. But wouldn't you agree that it seems that from Monmouth County down along the coast, also on Delaware Bay, you have some hardcore waterfowls on Delaware Bay that waterfowl hunting in New Jersey, exception again, the fields up north. We got some great snow goose hunting up there up around Merrill Creek.
Yep.
But that it's really a southern tier county tradition that just keeps going. Like the main concentration of waterfowl hunters are in the south.
Yes, Atlanta County, Cape May County, Cumberland County. There's a lot of hardcore duck hunters there. It's been a tradition down here to hunt. We still have a lot of great places. The coastal zones, you got the southern zones hunting the rivers and lakes. But it's still a good population of ducks that come down if the weather's right. We have access to a lot of areas to get into for hunting. Mm-hmm.
Jim, I never knew the amount of wood ducks you can get down here in the South Zone. Woo! That was an eye-opener to me. I always consider wood ducks, North Jersey. Boy, that was a wake-up call.
Yeah, not to change the subject, but the New Jersey Waterfowlers, one of their initiatives is to create more habitat for wood ducks and wood duck breeding. So we've been...
Nice!
We've made up over 200 wood duck boxes in the past year and a half, putting them out. And we're going to do another building box program in late April. So we're doing a lot for between the ducks, the decoys, and the New Jersey Waterfowlers and the New Jersey Decoy Collectors Association. There's a lot of interest and a lot of good things going on right now.
Jim, let me ask you this as well. The recruitment of youth, I see at the decoy shows and I see at the clubs and whatever, there are a fair amount of young gunners, okay, the 10, 12, 13. Do you see that numbers, we need it, increasing? What about the teens, the guys in their early 20s, girls in their early 20s? Do you run into many of those afield?
It's starting to come back a little bit more. That's one of our initiatives in both the Decoy Collecting Association with the carving and the collecting, and also with the waterfowlers, trying to educate and bring new people in. The waterfowlers have a free clinic every year, the week of Tuckerton Decoy Show.
Over there at Tip Seaman Park. Up there, in Tuckerton, yeah.
Yeah, Marty Christensen runs that program for the waterfowlers, and there was a lot of interest. We had women there, we had kids there, we had some new, used to be designated just towards the youth, to getting the youth going, but there's a lot of adult and older new waterfowlers that are coming into our hobby. So there is a lot of interest. There is some new people coming in. That's, like I say, that's one of our initiatives to get them in, get them active and out in the field.
On the line with us right now is Jamie Lord. He is the president of Jersey Decoy Collectors Association. He's also executive vice president, senior vice president, rather, New Jersey Waterfowlers. I think, Jamie, might you be president next year? Whoa.
We might be going that route. We'll see how things go.
Yeah, listen,
Gary Bell's our president right now. He's been a long-term president. He does a great job.
Hey, great guy, man. Gary Bell, is cool. And man, can he shoot. Woo! Anthony Cambrone. Man, that dude doesn't miss. Or retire. Oh, I figured that. Listen, it's the 30th annual Decoy Art and Honey Collectibles Show, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain or shine, April 6th at Stockton University, the Campus Center, 101 Vera King Drive in Galloway. Adult admission, $6. Youngsters, 12 and under, free. And the featured carver, longtime friend of Rack and Fin Rip, fished on his boat. And shout out to his sister Gina there, Captain Will Hammerstrom. There's going to be guest speakers. It's going to be a fun event. Food's going to be available. For info, you can contact Jamie Lloyd, the club pres, 609-703-6143, or John Shore, 609-405-4376. Well, Jamie, is there a website or a Facebook page or something people can find out more info on this?
Yeah, the Decoy Collectors Association has just punch up the New Jersey Decoy Collectors Association. There is a website. It does have the information. You know, it's going to be a good event. There's a lot of happenings in the area, you know, not too far from the Atlantic City and the casinos. You got right down the road from us is Smithville Village there, which is a neat attraction for, you know, walking around all the shops. And it's a lot of good things. Come check us out, and hopefully we'll see you.
Okay, Jamie, one final question. Insofar as the waterfowlers are concerned, when you're going to be doing the wood duck nesting boxes, whatever thing, give me a call. Let's get you back on to discuss that, because that's a fantastic event.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, listen, it's wood duck boxes, and like I said, I never saw Woody's in North Jersey like I've seen down here over the decades. Highs and lows, man. Woody's rule down here. I get the teal. I can't hit the teal, Lloyd, so I don't even bother with them.
We got some good hunting and some especially good with the Woodies. And like I said, we're creating a lot of habitat, a lot of nesting areas for them, and it should get better.
Okay, Jamie. Talk to you soon, man. Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I do a lot with the youth. Guy's very cool. Jamie Lord. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Early in the morning.
It doesn't matter that inflation is quote unquote starting to come down. Prices remain extraordinarily high. There's the problem.
That's the biggest problem. That's the kitchen table conversation problem that the Democrats are going to face in November. We've said over and over, inflation is cumulative.
Wake up weekday mornings with Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. A special prosecutor who had a romantic relationship with Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis has withdrawn from the Georgia election interference case against former President Trump. A judge had ruled Nathan Wade had to leave or Willis couldn't continue to pursue the charges. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer dishing out blistering commentary of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his handling of the war against Hamas. Republican Congressman Daryl Issa says now isn't the time to blast Israel.
I find it amazing that we would even consider saying something so overtly unfair about a democracy that we've historically supported and that has supported us.
Issa appearing on Fox Business's The Evening Edit. Meantime, President Biden agreeing with Schumer, calling it a good speech. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, mostly sunny with a high of 63. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 46. Tomorrow, windy with times of clouds and sun with a high of 66. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a low of 38. And then on Monday, breezy and cooler with times of clouds and sun with a high of 52. Monday night, clear, low 32. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 16th and 17th. Again, the Ides of March. I remember sophomore had to read Julius Caesar, the soothsayer. Beware the Ides of March, man. Cassius. Yonder Cassius with that lean and hungry look. Well, I'm not lean, but I'm always hungry and really getting hungry for the gobbler season coming up. My lovely D. Marie nailed her permit for segment A, and I'm not going to say the area she's going to be in, but, man, there are some big gobblers around again in my travels. Alloways. I've been all over to say this past week. Weather's been perfect. Seen a lot of flocks, and they're going to start to break up real soon. Watch this flock. Two gobblers about... I may be 50 yards off, as my next guest just recently described. They were dancing. Hey, there are going to be two turkey hunting seminars put on by DEP's Fish and Wildlife. It's going to be March 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m. One is going to be up at the Peak West Trout Hatchery and Education Center up there in Oxford and Warren County. The second one... right there, Batstow Village Visitor Center, 31 Batstow Road in Hamilton, right there, Warren. A great event, and these are some of the best. You're going to be some of the best. Ooh, I'm too sweating. I guess the turkey. See, turkey, shad, trout, stripers, drum coming up. I'm all discombobulated. Very special guest in line who will be conducting this turkey hunting seminar is Joe Leske. Longtime biologist with DEP's Fish and Wildlife, the Information Education Bureau. He's on the line with us right now. Joe Leske, gobblers everywhere, little brother.
Hey, you got the perfect name for this time of year. Good morning, Tom.
Leske, you rock. Whenever I see Joe, I say, man, Leske, I says, you're timeless, man. You never age. He looks at me and says, man, you age disgracefully. But we'll leave it at that. Joe, let's talk about this event at Batstown. Alugambali, frequent guest, especially during turkey season. Rock and Fin Radio is with the National Wild Turkey Federation. You're going to be giving some tips. Joe, if you can briefly go into the Wild Turkey Project in New Jersey, it'd start where it is now, and the seminar. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so this is part of our R3 hunting and shooting sports program, which is recruit, retain, and reactivate. So
yeah,
it's a big call for programs like this. And we can't do it without partnerships. And one of the biggest partnerships, certainly with the turkeys, is NWTF. And in this case, with Batstow, we'll have Lou Gambale with us. So we're going to go over the background and history, some biology, because hey, you gotta know your competition out there.
Oh yeah.
And we'll go into the hunting techniques, which is actually the most sought after part of this seminar. So people out there want to know how to hunt these birds, but we like to give them that background. And the background is generally, you know, the 1800s, there were no turkeys in New Jersey. So late 70s, we start off with 23 birds in Sussex County. And throughout all those years, the trap and transfer program has gotten it to where, you know, we're looking at around 20,000 birds statewide. So like you and I mentioned, there was a gradual shift in the population. It used to be a northern hot spots.
Yeah.
But that has shifted over the last decade plus down in South Jersey. So for those of you listening, get out there.
Listeners, you should be hearing, you should have received them by now, but then I have to notice too, check spam, the snail mail, again, DeMarie's thing, I thought it was a little late, there it was, for your permits. Now, leftover and unclaimed permits will go on sale, was that the 25th or something, so there's going to be some around, but remember, like, turkey hunting is, for example, 2021, if you are able to score a permit for any segment, after you get the permit, go buy some lottery tickets because you are one lucky mother, man. But, Joe, again, up north, is it habitat loss? Is it predation? I don't know what to think. And, by the way, not a non sequitur, but biologist Jimmy Sloan, head of the Upland Game, he's in a hen turkey transmitter program right now, which is really exciting. They're trying to see what is going on because supposedly there is a regional decline or national decline, whatever, in turkey populations of various, as per the species, you know, eastern merriam's, whatever. But, Joe, this is the north was always there. But like you said, about the past 10 years, man, the south rules.
Yeah, I had something I was calling the New Jersey Slam, where I wanted to get a bird out of every New Jersey turkey hunting area or zone. So I eventually had to grow up and go to work full time and get married and all that kind of stuff. So I think I'm three or four zones short. But I started it up, you know, in North Jersey, and I was kind of clicking them off of my list rather easily. I have two left up north, and it would be pretty tough going to try and get the birds up there. So, you know, various things I think add to this. One is, you know, we did have a booming population, and what comes up has to either come down or stabilize.
Right.
So, you know, there is a little bit of that reality that you can't just keep having an increase in the population where, you know, you're going to have problems. So, but with that coupled with everything from ground predators, nesting predators, avian predators, habitat loss, all those kind of combined things tend to, you know, lend itself to a decline in the population. So Jimmy and I have shared many a morning in the trucks in the cold trapping turkeys. So he's working on that collaring program. So try and shed some light on it.
We need the information, people. So the biologists, DEP's Fish and Wildlife, they're out there working. Okay, Joe Leske is on the line right now. He's a principal biologist, wildlife biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife Information Education Bureau. We're talking about the turkey hunting seminar at Batstow, Saturday, March 23rd, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Here's the dealio, people. Short notice on this. Registration deadline is March 20th, so act now. Joe, how do people register for this?
They can go onto our website and go that way, or if they even go on our Facebook and scroll down, you'll see a direct link to the application, and you are required to register. And I am going to say this, that both sites are knocking on complete event fullness. So when you hear this, get on there soon, because there's only, I think, we can hold 100 people at Batstow, and I think we're at 94 as of this morning.
That's what I'm saying. Last minute, people. Do it. A rack and fin. Last minute. I'm always a last minute, man. That's me.
These seats are getting gobbled up, Tom.
Leske, you're killing me, man. Well, I've been there to some of them, Joe, where it's standing room only, it seems. I mean, there's nowhere. Every seat is packed, and Bali gives a great presentation. So do you going into the background and stuff. And listeners, Jersey turkey hunting is some of the best in the Mid-Atlantic Northeast, I would say, for our size, the number of birds we have. But, Joe, I'll tell you, the one thing, except for maybe Staten Island, our suburban and bordering on inner city birds, man, they're getting pretty feisty.
Yeah, and I have that in my presentation. There's, you know, us in neighborhoods, you know, West Deptford and, you know, Tom's River and all these spots where they're going in between the neighborhoods. And, you know, you see the stories of the mail person walking around delivering mail with some sort of protection, whether it's an umbrella or a broom, because of turkeys. This time of year, the males start getting, you know, full of testosterone, and they get aggressive.
Listen, so I heard rumor, Leske, of some UPS and Amazon Prime drivers getting taken down.
Oh, yeah.
What's in that box? What is in that box? Joe, one more time with the Facebook page, how do people sign up? Listen, there's only a few spots left, so go with that again, Joe.
Yeah, so you can go to njfishandwildlife.com. And if you either search the R3 page, it'll come up on there. Or if you go to Fish and Wildlife's Facebook page, you know, we're always posting stuff there. So you'll have to scroll down a few days back to find that link to the application.
Listen, it's going to be at the Batstow Village Visitor Center, 31 Batstow Road in Hamilton. What's that, 542? I forget what road that is up there. I'm there up there a lot. I fish. What's that? The Mullica right there. Go. Good white perch right there. And great pickerel there. Crowley's Landing. Whoa. Hey, look at it this way, Leske. If I can catch him, you know there's plenty of fish up there.
Plenty of fish.
This is going to be a great event. Okay, Gambale, I'll bring the brajol if I can make it, Louie. I got the brajol. He nails me on that every time, Leske. Joe, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Doing a great job. Listeners, turkeys pretty soon, man. Pretty soon, leftover permits will be on sale and unclaimed permits will be on sale. Like I said, if you get them for some of the prime south zones, buy a lottery ticket as well because you are lucky. Joe, you take care, man. Hope to see you next week.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
See you, brother. Lesky, great crew. Just a great crew. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a member of Congress wants lawmakers who give birth to be able to vote remotely for a few weeks. Not all are in favor. We'll examine the issue. Also, for couples who sleep in separate rooms, known as a sleep divorce, does this indicate a problem in the marriage? And how customers of a doggy cafe responded when the business said it was closing. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Wrapping it up, the Ides of March week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We got a March 16th and 17th. Okay, all the talk about fluke and sea bass, and we have a lot of stuff going on, white perch going on. What about the stripers? Yeah, a lot of stuff in the back. Striped bass fishing has been crazy. Well, Striper Derby and also Striper and Bluefish Derby is starting. It's a 20, I can't believe already, 22nd annual LBI Spring Derby. Join us online right now for a quick to do what it's all about is Bayside Dave of, I'd say, YouTube and internet fame. Good guy. Saw him at the meeting on March 7th. Long time no see. Bayside Dave, how you doing, little brother?
Hey, good, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Dave, how is my hair? Is my hair looking good? The rest of me was a wreck.
Dude, as long as the hair looks good, that's all I care.
That's all that matters, man. Dave, this looks pretty good. Again, it's going to start, what, April 6th, and it's going to run to June 23rd. Go, man. It's your time. Yes, make it work.
Yeah, the 22nd annual LBI Spring Derby, which is run by the three bait shops, bait and tackle shops on the island. It's a $20 registration fee for all anglers. You can go to either of the bait shops to register for this thing. It's $20 registration for all anglers. It's 100% payout prize structure. Every single dollar that gets put in for registration gets paid out to whoever you know wins these prizes.
Nice.
We got. I'll give you a quick rundown. We got the striped bass prizes. We got first place is a 50% payout. We got second place 25% payout, and third place is a 10% payout. We also are going to give a 15% payout for the largest bluefish. There's no first, second, third, just the largest bluefish.
Yep.
And because of the regulations where it's only 28 to 31, and oh my God, this really sucks. I don't want to join a tournament because of that.
That's vintage Bayside Dave, man. This really sucks.
Yeah. No, I know. So, you know, we decided let's open up, we call it the, striped bass catch and release. We call it the Surf Master Prize.
Nice.
That way you can take a picture of your fish 31 inches or over. And it has to have your registration number written on a card or somewhere in the picture. And you have to have the tape measure up alongside the fish that's not non-obstructed. You can't have a fin covering 3 or 4 inches of the tape. You have to have it set perfect, nice with the fish right next to it with your registration number in the photo. And it's sent in. You can go to LBISFC.com for all the information about how to submit these photos. And the prize is going to be awarded to the angler with the combined total inches of the longest three striped bass that you catch over 31 inches. And the prize will be $50 gift certificates for each of the three bait and tackle shops that are on Long Beach Island. Fisherman's Headquarters, Jingles Bait and Tackle, and Surf City Bait and Tackle.
Wait, Jingles Bait and Tackle?
Jingles Bait and Tackle, brother.
Shout out to Carol Ann and Steve.
I saw Steve at the
AC Boat Show, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Carol Ann and Steve down there in Beach Haven at Jingles Bait and Tackle. They're a great shop, just as good as any of the other two shops on the island.
Oh, wait a second. Did he buy what? Frankie Camarda's boat? Is he running that? He has a party boat now?
Yeah, the Miss Beach Haven.
There you go, man.
He bought that last year, and I think it's a 60 footer. And he goes out bottom fishing. He goes out for they'll even go out for tuna with that boat. It's a great boat, great captain, and they put you on fish, brother.
Absolutely. Okay, we're speaking with Bayside Dave. Now, Dave, you're on YouTube, you're on Instagram, Maxagram, Facebook, whatever. How you keep it going, brother?
Yeah, my major thing is the Facebook account. Surf Fishing LBI with Bayside Dave. It's a forum for all the local surf anglers to just keep in touch with each other and let them know what's going on. And, you know, questions are answered. You know, we got some novice fishermen out there say, hey, what pole should I use? What hook should I use? Blah, blah, blah. All those questions are answered on the page from all the experienced anglers that are part of that page.
Okay, so, listen,
that's my major thing.
The 22nd annual LBI Spring Derby starts Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, June 23rd. $20 registration fee for all anglers, 100% payout of striped bass. You have three prizes for that and one prize for the biggest bluefish. And now, Dave, aren't people already signing up? They must be going pretty strong now, huh? Because those LBI fishermen are crazy.
Yeah, people are real excited because of all the action that's already going on. And we are seeing pods of big, I mean, I'm talking stripers in the 30-inch range and above,
yeah,
off the surf already.
Yep.
We're seeing birds working. We had a guy last night in Holgate throwing topwater and pulling in 32, 34-inch bass last night in Holgate. Incredible. It's already starting. People are excited. They want to sign up. They want to start winning prizes with these bass, but baby.
That's it. Okay, Bayside Dave, one more time for people can register at where?
They can register at Fisherman's Headquarters. They can register at Surf City Bait and Tackle and Jingles Bait and Tackle down in Beach Haven, but they don't open until March 30th. But Fisherman's Headquarters and Surf City Bait and Tackle are already open for the season, so you can go there directly now and sign up for $20 registration fee. And when you get down to Beach Haven after March 30th, they're going to be open and ready for registration. And those are all the three weigh-in stations as well.
Hey, Bayside Dave, wouldn't you say fishing fever is percolating?
Oh, my God, I'm going out of my mind. I got to get out there. Why am I on the phone with you?
And listen, people, listen, Bayside Dave here, he is a closet freshwater fisherman as well. Remember that, Dave?
Oosh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to find out that there's also some fresh water in my veins.
Dave, you take it. Hey, it was great to see you again, man. Long time no see.
Yeah, you too. You got to hit me up when you come down to the island again, brother. We got to get you know, some quality time together, my man.
Whoa. Blackfish on the jetties. Me, you, and Dee Marie. Blackfish on the jetties. We got it.
I'm waiting for the call, man. I got to get you out there and show you how to do it.
By the way, people, his nickname is Sandflea Dave, too.
Oh, yeah.
You pioneered that. Dave, you take care, man. Good to see you.
You too. Thanks for having me, brother.
Yep. Yeah, it is upon us. Oof. Everything is going on. And the white perch fishing has been and continues to be super. Going to get a little chillier again this week, but it's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. If you can get the Gresham, more Gresham are available as you're listening to this. Bloodworms are going to start to hit, excuse me, fish bites pretty soon. We've even caught them on pieces of Nightcrawler. We couldn't get the bloods. And all those have bite sandworms. And some of the bloods out there. I saw some bloods in shops. And not good at all. It's a worm. Go with the worm. That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Ready. Beware the Ides. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Last call for trout on April 6th. Ponder Lodge Pond. Get to the Ponder Lodge. Big rainbows on the prowl and on the chow. See you next week. End Rack and Fin Radio.